With Montana News, I'm Madeline Broom. State data today show 569 new COVID-19 cases in Montana. Over 9,600 people are currently infected, and nearly 340 people are currently hospitalized, both new records for the state. The most recent hospital capacity report from Sunday shows inpatient hospital beds in 13 counties are over 70% full. Musselshell County is reporting 100% occupancy. Benefice Hospital in Great Falls, St. Peter's Health in Helena, and Roundup Memorial Healthcare are currently at capacity for inpatient beds, according to the last report. County public health officials are asking Montanans to follow recommendations to curb the spread of the disease, including limiting visits with people from outside your household to 6 per week and capping visits at 15 minutes. Regular hand washing, mask wearing, and maintaining distance from others is also advised. The Montana State Prison has locked down due to an outbreak of the coronavirus in the facility. The State Department of Corrections says the lockdown starting Friday occurred after the number of confirmed cases of the coronavirus in the prison jumped from 8 to 36. Corrections officials say 23 prison employees have also tested positive for the coronavirus. The prison in southwest Montana houses about 1,500 inmates and employs about 700 staff members. The National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory in effect until tomorrow morning for parts of south central, southeast, and northeast Montana with a mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain, making for difficult travel conditions. Another inch or two of snow accumulation is possible through Wednesday night. Montana released a draft document today that outlines its COVID-19 vaccination plan and priorities as required by the CDC. Rachel Kramer with YPR News reports.
Montana's draft plan says frontline healthcare workers, personnel who play a critical role in national security, law enforcement, firefighters, pregnant women, infants, and people at risk for severe COVID-19 illness will be the first to receive a vaccine during the initial 2-month rollout, though it's not clear when that may be. Phase 2 would target people at risk for spreading the virus and those with limited access to vaccination services. Phase 3, expected upwards of 6 months later, would make the vaccine available to everyone else. The draft plan says the state's health department will be the operation hub and responsible for reviewing local and tribal governments' plans to distribute the vaccine. Earlier in the day, the state's draft plan was not discussed during a roundtable convened by the campaign for Democratic candidate for Governor Mike Cooney, where health experts outlined challenges they expect states will likely encounter when trying to get people vaccinated, including public acceptance. Dr. Ellie Graydon with the Center for Global Health Science and Security at Georgetown University said getting over that hurdle will require partnering with local leaders to help with messaging.
It's not the LA celebrities that are going to have the impact in Montana. It's going to be, you know, even your heads of the rodeo community. It's going to be your religious leaders in the state. It's going to be your tribal leaders across the state.
She said a logistical challenge will be finding ways to transport and store the vaccine at minus 112 degrees Fahrenheit.
The other thing to consider is that it is certainly possible that it will be a 2-dose vaccine. Now, for anybody who lives in rural communities, we know that those are the kinds of issues that will really bring to the fore the need to be very intentional about distribution.
She said asking people to drive 30 to 60 minutes one way to get a booster in the same week is a lot to ask, especially in winter when driving conditions can be problematic. Graydon recommended using mobile clinics to set up shop in rural communities for a week to make it easier for people to get vaccinated. Health experts predict most Americans won't have access to a vaccine until the first half of next year. Rachel Kramer, YPR News.
Montana lawmakers have rejected rule changes that would have authorized majority leaders of the House and Senate to break tie votes in legislative interim committees. The committees are often comprised of Democrats and Republicans in equal numbers. The rule changes failed to pass a statewide poll sent to lawmakers last month. Democratic Representative Kimberly Dudick of Missoula accused Republican lawmakers of proposing the rules in order to overturn an emergency declaration made by Democratic Governor Steve Bullock at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Rules Committee Chair Republican Senator Fred Thomas of Stevensville said minority Democrats have abused their positions on interim committees and he wanted to change that. Montana's top political cop found Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney accepted over-the-limit donations from the Democratic Governors Association for the general election, including the disputed cost of creating a website that neither the DGA nor Cooney reported as an in-kind donation to his campaign. Cooney's campaign said one of two maximum $710 donations to his campaign that were credited to the DGA actually came from the Democratic Lieutenant Governors Association, and the campaign filings have been corrected. The ruling will likely lead to Cooney's campaign paying a fine and paying the DGA for the cost of making a website in opposition to his Republican opponent, Greg Gianforte. Candidates to lead Montana's K-12 public school system are clashing over the handling of hundreds of thousands of dollars in federal coronavirus relief funds. Democrat Melissa Romano and Republican incumbent Elsie Arntzen disagree over whether or not the state should have followed a now-defunct federal rule that led to potentially $800,000 meant for public schools going to private and home schools across Montana. MTPR's Aaron Bolton reports.
The U.S. Department of Education's rule for how public schools were to pass relief funding from the federal government to private and home schools across the nation was thrown out in court back in early September. The struck-down rule ordered public school districts to give non-public schools a larger share, sending hundreds of thousands of dollars more to those schools across Montana. Candidate for superintendent Melissa Romano says Arntzen should have waited to send out the funds while the Department of Education's rule was tied up in court.
There were so many states who pushed back and could see right away that that was not the way Congress intended for that money to be used.
Romano has also criticized Arntzen for not providing a plan detailing how public schools could recoup their losses. Romano says she doesn't have a plan herself and says she's not advocating for private and home schools to pay back money spent on services or return goods such as laptops. Arntzen has previously said districts needed federal relief funding to start the school year, and OPI couldn't wait for the issue to be settled in court. Arntzen's campaign did not make her available for an interview, but in an emailed statement, an unnamed campaign spokesperson wrote, quote, "The OPI followed all statutes and regulations in this matter," end quote. Montana School Board Association's Lance Melton says the nonprofit doesn't take sides in political races, but he says there's no turning back the clock on the potentially $800,000 of additional relief funding spent on non-public schools.
You know, the money has already been distributed under the circumstances. Fully anticipate that the schools who received it have spent it.
OPI spokesperson Dylan Klapmeyer says the agency doesn't expect that all of that money has been spent, but OPI is still calculating how much. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
This is MTPR.